Principle 4, limit sugar intake.
Proverbs 25:27 NLT. It's not good to eat too much honey, and it's not good to seek honors for yourself.
In Principle 3, we talked a little bit about insulin and blood sugar, but now we'll tackle the topic with sugar in more detail so you can understand the importance of avoiding too much sugar in your diet. Sugar burning versus fat burning. It's very important that you understand the two modes your body can be in at any given time, fat burning or sugar burning. You have to be in a fat burning state to lose weight. The ultimate goal is to create a system of eating where you're consistently in a fat burning state without cutting all sugar out of your diet. As soon as you eat food, the storage hormone called insulin starts to rise. It signals the cells in your body to absorb glucose. When we stop eating, insulin levels fall, and after so many hours of fasting, we use up all the sugar and switch over to fat for fuel burning. This is similar to why you don't have to eat while you're asleep. Your body is using stored energy to survive. Think of a hybrid car. Some hybrids use only electricity for fuel until there's none left. At that point, it switches over to gas consumption to keep going. That is what it's like in a human body. You want to use up all that sugar and get to the fat because burning fat results in weight loss. Your body won't bother going to fat stores for fuel when there's plenty of sugar present. When you start your fast, your body is burning only sugar at first. After 18 to 24 hours, those stores start to run out, so your body is forced to get energy from your fat. That's the key. Now you know why low-carb, high-fat diets work so well. There's less sugar for your body to pull from when you're eating that way. Like all diets, though, it's hard to sustain, so we want to find a way to have balance. Blood sugar. An ideal blood sugar level is between 80 and 100 while you're fasting. I feel the best when my blood sugar is between 80 and 100 while I'm fasting. If I'm starting to fall into a slump, I use exercise or caffeine to perk me up. Since you shouldn't be consuming calories during your fasting window, you can drink unsweetened tea or black coffee to get your caffeine. Your body gets its fuel from three different kinds of food: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Carbohydrates, carbs, come from breads, fruits, vegetables, and more. Fat and protein come from dairy, nuts, and fatty vegetables like avocados. Your digestive system breaks down each food and basically sends it to your bloodstream. Your body uses insulin to process the sugar from the carbs you eat. So the amount of insulin your body creates really depends on how much sugar you're taking in. When you hear the word sugar, you might be visualizing table sugar, but sugar also comes from the breakdown of carbs. When I eat a meal that's high in sugar, I immediately crave a snack afterwards. It's not that I'm still hungry, I just feel the need for something sweet. This is because the high sugar meal I ate caused my blood sugar to shoot up high. So when that blood sugar drops, even just a little, I start craving something sweet to balance me out. This is a major reason to avoid eating too much sugar. A lot of the diets you've tried push the rule of restricting carbs to lose weight, but not all carbs are created equal. 50 grams of carbs from bread and 50 grams of carbs from broccoli don't release the same amount of sugar into your bloodstream. These differences in foods can be determined by the glycemic index or glycemic load of a particular food. There is a difference between these two terms, but they both are used to determine what effect the food you eat has on your blood sugar. Should you spend a lot of time obsessing over the glycemic load of the foods you eat? No, not at all. I don't think there are thin people out there calculating the glycemic load of 2 cups of spaghetti versus a corn on the cob. That sort of stressful calculation will drive you crazy, just like dieting. That being said, I do think you should be conscious of the amount of sugar you're eating. All of the thin eaters I talk to really watch the amount of sugar they consumed. I consciously keep 80% of my diet full of foods that don't drastically raise my blood sugar. It's not hard to see that an apple isn't going to raise your blood sugar the same way a donut will, right? Keep your blood sugar under control, or it's going to make you keep eating more. Monitoring your blood sugar. Oftentimes, people will try to rid their diets of all sugar. That's unrealistic to me, so I focus on tracking my blood sugar level. One option to monitor your blood sugar is a continuous glucose monitor. A CGM shows your blood sugar level minute by minute, but it's very expensive. It costs about $300 to lease for 2 weeks or $1,800 to buy outright, and you have to have a prescription notice from your physician. Instead, I recommend you use something like the Freestyle Light Blood Glucose Monitor. Using the Freestyle Light, I learned a lot about my body that I didn't know before. For example, if I have a cup of coffee with coconut oil, it literally reduces my blood sugar by 10 to 15 points. So if I'm fasting and my blood sugar is 85, after a cup of coffee with a heaping tablespoon of coconut oil, I end up at 75. However, I feel energized, not hypoglycemic. The Freestyle Light makes small and almost painless pinpricks. I got it for only $19 at Walgreens without a prescription. You can order 50 test strips for it from Amazon for $26. Your blood sugar report card. Once you have the ability to check your blood sugar on a regular basis, you have to know where your blood sugar should be. I asked my stepfather, who is a doctor, to help me create a report card to measure how I'm doing. When you're in the discovery phase, take your blood sugar 3 or 4 times a day to learn your levels and responses. Later, you won't have to test it so much. Your blood sugar while fasting, if you want a grade A, should be 70 to 90, a B, 91 to 100, a C, 101 to 110, and a D, 111 plus. Your blood sugar after eating, if you want to get an A, it's going to be 100 or less, a B, 101 to 110, C, 111 to 120, and D, 121 plus. Personally, the pounds shed right off when I stay consistently below 100. Check your sugar 30 minutes after you eat and then again 2 hours later. The second reading will be most accurate. Being accountable with my blood sugar helped me to decide how many grams of sugar to eat per day. I like to have only 20. It may be different for you, so start getting acquainted with your blood sugar and find out what works for you. For more information on blood sugar, go to www.chantelrayway.com/blood sugar.